Well, it has been a great morning so far, and we are so glad that you are still with us and smiling and happy to be here. Smile at somebody. We are still on our series of presents, and this is part two of last week. Part one of this last week was, I was going to do the week before, but we didn't have church because that was canceled. But I said there was a couple words that really stir in my heart from the Christmas story. And one of them is Emmanuel. I love Emmanuel. I love the idea of God with us, just his presence and kind of everything we talked about this morning, honestly, that the creator of heaven and earth would come down and hang out with Matthew and me and Jeff, right? Yeah, right. And I just love that. God with us, like the name Emmanuel, God with us. And so we actually preached on that a few weeks ago. And the other one, we won't do all the verses that we did last time, but the other word is favor. Say favor. Favor. Do you like the word favor?
Yes.
Yeah. Raise your hand if you like the word favor. I like that. Okay, we like favor. Favor sounds like a good thing. We defined it a couple different ways, but really however you define it, favor is a good thing. We like favor with people. We like when people do us favors. We like favor with God. It's just kind of this entrance into blessing. So, in the Christmas story, we see, we're just going to read a couple verses. This is all review again from last week. But Luke chapter 1, in the Christmas story, we see the angel Gabriel had showed up and said, Mary, you are highly what? Favored, right? And then a little bit further down, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, don't be afraid, Mary. You have found, say it, favor. You have found favor. Mary found favor. And interesting little side note, it's a good thing when you got favor, you can replace fear. When there's favor, there's no reason to fear. When you have favor, there's no reason to fear. We see that a couple times. We talked a little bit more about that last time. But when there's favor, there doesn't have to be fear. And so if fear is taking an unhealthy place in your mind this morning, say, God, thank you for favor. Amen. So we see that in that part of the story. And then a little bit later on, Luke chapter 2, the next chapter, you guys know this story. We read this often. Does anybody in your Christmas, your family Christmas, does anyone read the Christmas story kind of as part of your Christmas tradition? Marnie's family does, and so now we started doing that in ours sometimes, and that's kind of a neat deal. So this is part of that kind of Christmas story in Luke. This is Luke chapter 2. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to who? To those on whom his favor rests. So those that are experiencing the favor of God get to experience the peace of God. Well, I like that. Like, how do I sign up? How do I get to be one of the guys that signs up for that? Because it says, not everyone on earth, but on those whom his favor rests. I want to be one of the ones that the favor of God rests on. And so, we talked about, there's a lot of different definitions of favor. And depending on what kind of church background you come from, it could mean lots of different things. But really the root word, not in this verse here, but in most of the other verses where it's translated favor. I forgot about these. There's some Old Testament people. Real quickly, Genesis 6:8, Noah found what? Favor. Noah found grace. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Exodus 33, we got Moses. Moses said to the Lord, you've been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You've said, here's what God said to Moses. I know you by name, and you've found favor with me. God was telling Moses, you found favor with me. The angel told Mary, you're highly favored. You found favor. I want to find favor. I find cracked windshields and bills that I haven't paid. I want to find favor, all right? I want to find favor. Show me how to find favor. And this verse says that God is saying to Moses, you found favor with me. One more in Acts chapter 7, David found favor with God and asked for the privilege of building a permanent temple for the God of Jacob. That's Acts 7:46. So we've got Mary, we've got people on earth, we've got David, we've got Moses, we've got Noah. Like, you've got some heavy hitters here, right? And one thing that they all have in common, we know this because we just read it, and the little yellow highlighted word said, they all found favor, or there was favor with God. Somehow in their lives, they were in a position that God looked differently upon them. Is that available to us? That's kind of the gist of the message from last week, and we're going to move on from there. But the message last week was, we skipped most of it, is, well, does God play, when you're saying favor, does that mean like favorites? Does God play favor? Like, David was one of God's favorites, and Moses was one of God's favorites, and Mary was one of God's favorites. Well, I'm out of luck because I didn't live 2,000 years ago, and I have a hunch I'd be out of luck anyways, just because I know me. I probably wouldn't be one of God's favorites. But is that really what it means? And so we took some time and we walked through that, and that's really not what it means at all. That's not what it means at all. So we've got some definitions. It's the Greek word. We're going to Greek words, okay? This is an old one, though. We did this when we talked about the gifts of the Spirit. You guys remember charis? Remember charismatic? We're a charismatic church. It's the grace gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 and some of the end of 13. It's charismatic because it's grace. Matic, I don't know. It's grace gifts. It's, we believe that they're still flowing in the Holy Spirit, that those gifts talked about in the Word of God are still available for us today because nothing changed with them. We still need the interaction of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so that's where that term, if you've ever heard that, oh, that's a charismatic church, that's what it's talking about, because it's in those chapters, it's talking about grace gifts. Nothing that you've done to earn the gift of teaching. Nothing that you've done to earn the gift of encouragement. Nothing that you've done to earn the gift of generosity. Nothing that you've done to earn the gift of leadership. And we went over all of that when we were talking about spiritual gifts, but it was that word. Charis means grace. Almost every time the word grace is translated in English in the scriptures in the New Testament, it's that word, charis, and that's what that means. And the definition of it is goodwill, loving kindness, favor. That's why they're interchangeably, because that's what it means. Favor, grace, means kindness given to one which he has not deserved or earned. How many of you feel like you're batting 1,000 at earning good things from God? Right? Say no, please. We cannot. And so we looked at a couple more definitions. I love this one. It's from Blue Letter Bible. I didn't cite that down at the bottom, but that's where it came from. It's the merciful kindness. This is talking about grace, okay? This is what charis is, or favor, or grace. It's the merciful kindness by which God, exerting his holy influence upon our souls. I said last week, I love that line so much. God influencing us, moving on our hearts. He turns them to Christ. He keeps them in Christ. He strengthens them in Christ. He increases them in Christian faith, in knowledge, in affection, and kindles them to the exercise of the Christian virtues. That's kind of an old English way of saying that, but it's saying that grace is that thing that stirs in your heart that something's just not right in my life. Because when we're so full of pride and we think we've got this figured out and you don't need to tell me some Bible thumper dude, I don't need to listen to that garbage. And that's what I'm saying on the outside, but inside something is fluttering in my heart. And what's going on inside of me that I want to listen to this guy? I kind of want to just throw him off a cliff, but part of me is drawn to that. What do you mean there's an answer? What do you mean I'm not right? What do you mean there's another way? And I just want to get angry at you, and yet something within me wants to listen to more of that. Tell me again. I'm going to decide if I'm going to shoot you or listen to you. Like I'm frustrated, but I want to listen. And it's the grace of God before we ever even know Christ, when we're evil heathen people, that draws our heart. It's the grace of God that initiates that in us. It's not us. It's Jesus that initiates. The Holy Spirit works that in us before we ever say yes. And it's the grace of God that even lets us say yes. And then once we do say yes to God, then he has his holy influence on our souls. And it's the favor of God that turns us to Christ, keeps us in Christ, strengthens us. And does this sound good to anybody but me? Okay, anyone else want to be kept, strengthened, increased in the Christian faith? Are you good with the faith that you got? Or would you rather have an increase? Come on, increase my faith, increase my knowledge of God, increase my affection. You guys, we just finished like a bazillion weeks on love. You guys feel like you got every one of those nailed? I mean, you feel like you're batting 1,000 on those? Come on. God, increase my affection for God and for people. And kindle my heart to exercise all of the Christian. That just means being a Christian, being doing the things that we're supposed to be doing. All of the virtues in us, all of the godly things in us. That's what grace does. That's what grace does. It's a blessing of God that just overflows in our life and in our hearts and all around us. Here's another definition. Here's where we entered into the tension in the story last time. Finding favor, this is from Baker's Evangelical Dictionary of Biblical Theology. We can't even say the name around here. So I'm sorry if that's one of your favorite books and I can't even say book. Finding favor means gaining approval, acceptance, or special benefits or blessings. And we see that in the Word of God. That rings true. The favor that human beings receive from God depends on God's good pleasure and is often, and listen to this line, it's often extended in response to prayer or righteous living. And if you read this, and if you're not careful with this, you would want to feel like he's telling us that you can earn grace. And so we spent a lot of time talking about that last week. We're not going to talk a lot about that. You can never do anything to earn any of God's blessings, ever, 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 if you had 1,000 lifetimes. There's nothing that we can do to stir his grace in our life. But because of free will, say free will. Because I have a choice, and you have a choice, and you have a choice. We can choose to make poor choices and resist God and walk on our own path and be prideful. And it's still the grace of God that is in our life. But yet there's always this tension that goes on that people have argued about how much is God's part and how much is our part. People have written volumes of books arguing both sides of that and everywhere along the spectrum. And I just want to say, there's no clear, easy answer for that. We know we could never earn the grace of God. We know we desperately need it in our life. And we know, according to the Word of God, what we're going to look at very shortly here, that there's things that we can do in our life. It's, the analogy I used last time was there around the corner, there's a huge waterfall, massive waterfall, millions of gallons of water flowing out of there. You're dying of thirst, okay? Did you do anything to create the thirst in you? Well, besides not drink water, but like it just happens, okay? Did you do anything to start the waterfall? No. And this is clear spring water. Remember, we clarified that last time. There's no cattle upstream, okay? Good, clear spring water. And we're dying of thirst. I can choose to not go over to the waterfall. I didn't start it. I can't stop it. I didn't create my thirst. But I can resist going over and taking a drink. Or I can choose to go over and stand under the blessings of that. And so that's some of these verses that we're talking about is not at all to minimize the power of grace. In fact, we're talking about the power of grace and how desperately we need it because we can't do anything to help grace even. But we can walk our lives into a place where we can experience more, a greater measure of God's grace. That's the same response people had last week. Acts 10, 34 and 35. This is one of our verses that we used on favoritism. But this is New Testament. Amen? Yes? Acts? Have you read your Bible? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. What's next? Acts. Acts is in the New Testament. Gospel. Grace. Right? New Testament. You know, can't do anything to earn heaven. But here's what Peter is saying, and there's tons of verses like this. Acts 10, 34 and 35, Peter began to speak, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but he accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. Now, the way to God is repentance and relying upon his grace on the cross, the work that he did for us. We can never add to that. We can never add to that. We can never bring about something that God didn't bring about on his own. And yet, I can choose to fear God or not fear God, do right or not do right. And so the kind of the clincher that we made last time is you can never initiate grace. You can never add to grace. You can't do anything to stop grace. But we can choose where I want my life to live at. And I want to live under the waterfall. And this is what Peter is saying here, is if you will accept what Christ has done, if you will fear God in his ways, and then let your actions prove that. You see in the book of James, you know, that's why that was so controversial, you know, back in the first century. They're like, wait a minute, James, you're telling us that we need to have these works in our life, and yet, like, it's very clear that you can never earn heaven. And so the statement that we made, I don't think I have the slide on there, but belief and behavior are never separated in the scripture. That's what we need to understand. See, we in America, we can believe something. I believe I love my wife, and I can go beat her over the head and never buy her gifts and call her ugly and whatever. And I can think somehow I can justify in my heart that I'm really loving my wife. Yeah, well, she's lucky she got me. Just a weird example. I couldn't think of anything else. But do you know what I mean? We can. I believe that it's good to lose 10 pounds. Oh, how much are you losing them? Probably nothing. I eat a lot. Our idea of belief is a little different than the scripture's idea of belief. You see in the scripture, believe on the Lord Jesus, you will never find a pattern in the scripture where people believe with their lives and their behavior isn't radically changed. It just doesn't exist in scripture. And that's why this is a grace verse. It's the grace of God. But wait a minute. God accepts the people who fear him and do what's right, right? Well, how much right do you have to do in order for God to accept you? That's the question. That's where that tension comes in. I don't care how much right you do. God will never accept you if you're just doing right. God accepts you because of Christ. That's why what Peter's not saying is what they knew already. It's the grace of God. It's Jesus Christ crucified. You accept him into your life, and then you live out your life for him. But what he was highlighting is you can never believe in Jesus in true biblical belief and then not have fruit in your life. It just doesn't, it's not in the Bible. And it's not a legalistic, like, it's just describing what a thriving relationship with God is. You believe, and then there's change. And then we stumble, and we get back up, and we gather people around us, and they pray for us, and we walk further, and we have another hard day, and we go again. And that's the Christian walk. But our hearts always remain focused towards him. So what he's saying is there's always behavior that fits belief. So that's what we're saying today. Is that we can walk in favor, in a greater measure of favor with our behavior, because we're causing our lives to line up with our beliefs. I want to look one more time at this verse. We read it already, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. There's about 50 times in the Old Testament where it says that someone found favor in the eyes of someone else. Someone found favor in the eyes of God. Someone found favor in the eyes of the king. Someone found favor in the eyes of their father-in-law. Someone found favor in the eyes of the army or whatever. Like, you're finding favor in the eyes of a person. Where are your eyes located at? This is not a trick question. Nobody knows. We're going to bring a little doll up here. Eyes. We're teaching Callie that right now. Eyes. She loves to poke, when I take my glasses off, she loves to poke in my eyeball. Wait a minute, that's off limits. Hold on. Our eyes are in our face, right? They're in our head, our face, the front, where I'm looking. And I always say this is always my example. In photography, if the eyes are out of focus, the picture's out of focus. You can have everything else out of focus, but if the eyes are in focus, one little sliver, I don't know if you know about f-stops and field of depth of field, but you know, the narrowest depth of field, and just your eyeballs are in focus. Everything else can be out of focus, but there's no tension in that picture. You feel good about this. You look at it, and you're like, oh, that's a great picture. And everything else can be out of focus, but the eyes need to be in focus. And this series is about presence. And I just want to make the point that favor is connected with presence. It's connected with closeness. Every time that you find favor in the eyes of someone, you're not just saying from a distance, someone wrote me a letter and I'm okay with them. It's a phraseology. It's not just in their literal eyes. It means that I look upon you with blessing. I look upon you with good intentions. I look upon you when my eyes meet your eyes My gaze is towards you, and it's well-being for you. It's blessing for you. It's favor for you. So I just thought that was really interesting that there's this connection about closeness in the idea of grace and favor. There's a blessing in Numbers chapter 6. We're getting to some of our new stuff now. In Numbers chapter 6, verse 22 starts like this. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them," you guys have heard this prayer over and over, "the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace." Look at, in the middle of that is the word gracious. And above and beneath that is this idea of God turning his countenance, his face towards you with favor. God, we don't want you to ignore us. We don't want you to be far from us. We don't only seek your blessing, but we seek your face. You see, this is a prayer of closeness with God before that was allowable. There's this prayer of, God, we want to see your face. We just don't want to see your hand. And how many of us, when we're kids, we get pretty excited at Christmas time about the hand of our parents, right? My new bike, my new skateboard, my new BB gun, whatever it is. We love our parents' hand, and that's not bad. But we want to also go beyond the hand to the face. And that's what this prayer is that even in old times, even in before grace was even really, I mean, it wasn't before grace, but before grace was revealed in the way that it was revealed through Jesus, God is saying, here's the prayer that I want you to bless people with. Old Testament. The Lord bless you, keep you. Look at, the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you are to bless the Israelites. This came from the heart of God. God's saying, I want you to bless people with my face. With a closeness. With me turning towards them in favor, in blessing, with my heart towards them. That's the blessing that we're praying over people. And how many of us would live our lives so differently if we were aware of the face of God upon us in our everyday life? How much would anxiety dissipate from our life if what was in focus is the face of God? Come on. How much would fear of the future begin to decline if this blessing in this prayer was just front and foremost in our life every single day? God, it's your face. I see your face. I'm seeking you. God, you are towards me. You are looking at me with favor. I see your eyes. How much less would we struggle with sin when some dirty, nasty, little tempting thing looks good for a second, and then I lift my eyes from that and I see the face of God? And how can that, as tempting as that is, how can that ever compare with the love and mercy and compassion and beauty of the Creator of my heart? The closer we draw to the face of God, see, he knew that they would follow their commands if they could see his face. If they could see his face, make his face shine on you. Not a grumpy face, a shining face. Anyone ever come around the corner and see the face of someone and it's not shining? What'd you say last night? Grumpus dad? Something along those lines. Yeah, my face was not shining, evidently. So we want our face to shine with favor and blessing. Let's look at this word, gracious. It's the Hebrew word. I'm not even trying to pronounce it because, yeah, it just isn't. But this word, back up a little bit. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. What does that word gracious mean? It means to bend or stoop in kindness to someone that is inferior, and we are certainly inferior to God. And it means to favor them or to move to favor by petition. Here we see that kind of that connection that we made in Acts, where in response to us praying and asking and seeking the Lord, there's a response of favor towards us. So we can initiate things like that. So back up one more time. make his face shine on you and be favorable towards you, gracious towards you, and then the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Come on, in the face of God, in the presence of God, in the closeness of God, we find the favor of God for everything that we need for life and godliness. That's a verse in the Bible. Everything that we need for life and godliness, but it's found in his face. It's found in his presence. It's found in closeness with him. We don't approach favor with God from a distance. The blessing of God comes in closeness with him. And you'll find, we were talking through this message, Stephen and I, and I said, Stephen, I read a quote. I don't have it up on the screen, but I read it from a book that I was reading. And the point that he was making is when you read Revelations and you get to the end of Revelations and you see the streets of gold and these pearly gates and jasper and onyx and all of these jewels, and you walk through and you see the saints of God and you see all these incredible things of God and heaven and eternal life and paradise. And at the very end, the crown jewel, the thing that is at the center of it all, and they shall see my face. That's the ultimate goal. That's the highlight. That's what, like, oh, gold, that's cool. Jasper's, ruby, yeah, saints of God. Whoa, but the face of God, his presence, his closeness, his favor. Wow, that's the ultimate treasure that we seek. Amen. Thank you for that. Amen. Here's a Proverbs one. I just threw this one in. When a king's face brightens, it means life. His favor is like a rain cloud in spring. You see, even in a verse that's not tied directly with God, we see this connection with goodwill towards you and my face. When you turn to someone and you get, you ever got the mom look from across the room? I mean, it could drill right through you from 100 yards, right? But the opposite is true when someone looks at you with favor. When you shouldn't get to go in, but the security guard looks at you and smiles and pulls the door back and you get to walk through to the backstage concert or whatever. Something like, there's this face of blessing when someone finds something in you that, whether you did anything or not, they just want to bless you. The look of life. And that's what this verse is saying. When a king's face brightens, it means life. May our face be bright with the presence of God. So it means life for other people. All right. Here's the verse. We covered this one last time. We're just going to read it and then move on. Good people obtain favor from the Lord, but he condemns those who devise wicked schemes. My challenge on this verse, kind of funny last time, was, We need the grace of God so desperately in our lives. And I love what Tim Keller says. He said, we don't need the grace of God so much for the bad things that we do. We know those are bad things. We need the grace of God because it's often the good things that we do with wrong motives. Yeah, I'll just leave that one there to step on your toes a little bit. And it's so true. God, search my heart and know me. Help me to have the right motives. Let the grace of, you're so good, God. Even when I'm doing good, I'm probably not half the time not doing good. Not because I don't want to, because we're infested in this world with fallenness. We're creaturely. All right, next verse then. So what we're finishing up with is, let's look on this idea of what can I do in my life? What can I do right now? What can I physically do? What can I believe? What can I think? What do the scriptures blatantly say? So this is not the verses on favor about, you know, you're going to be blessed and get raises and have, you know, like we pray those prayers and we believe those things, you know, and our crops are going to increase. And like, this isn't necessarily talking so much on that end. It's more talking about how can I position my life to make sure that I'm where the Lord is leading me? How can I do the things that have been revealed in Scripture? We call it the revealed will of God. How can I follow the revealed will of God that Scripture has already told me that if I do this, I'll have favor in my life? It's kind of what we call the low-hanging fruit. I mean, we don't have to, like, read prophetically. Like, it just says, if you do this, you'll have favor. So this is one of them, the next one of them. So we've got a few of them here. What can I do to position my life to walk in a greater measure of the favor of God and less of me? This is verse 1 and then some later verses in Proverbs 8. So the first verse says this, does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? Now then, my children, listen to me. So whose children? Not necessarily God's children, even though it is. It's the wisdom of God, but it's wisdom's children. Now then, my children, listen to me. Blessed are they who keep my ways. This is wisdom's ways. You get a little tricky about Proverbs. You got to find out who's talking, okay? And yes, it's the wisdom of God, but this is wisdom talking right now. Blessed are those who keep my ways. And in fact, wisdom's ways are God's ways, so it works out okay. But this is wisdom who's saying this. Wisdom is saying in verse 33, so we jump from verse 1 all the way to verse 33, listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not disregard it. So this tells me I've got a choice. Has anyone ever given you a piece of advice and it was really good and you really didn't listen to it? And then later, what did you say? Exactly. I get the sense that you've all experienced that before. If you haven't, buckle up, because maybe sometime you will. Hopefully you won't, though. We're going to tell you not to. Never experience that. Listen to my instruction and be wise, so you could not listen. All right? So the next couple verses says this. Blessed are those who listen to me. And who's me? Wisdom. Watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For those who find me, find life and receive what? Favor from the Lord. But those who fail to find me harm themselves, and all who hate me love death. So this is one of these kind of conditional things that we're talking about. God's already revealed this to us. By the grace of God, we get to have the Holy Spirit moving in us to help us follow his word. So we're not left on our own. It's already grace that's doing it. And yet, he still gives us choice. Do you want to be wise or do you not want to be wise? See, some of us think about the favor of God like this. Well, God's blessed me and I'm in Christ, so I've got everything I need, and that's scriptural. And then we don't follow things like this, and we think that there's a problem with the favor of God or the character of God or the nature of God when he's already revealed things in our... So we kind of besmirch, that's one of Ray Backer's words, we besmirch his name. Maybe we don't say it out loud, but in our hearts we're like, but God, I thought I was blessed. I thought you loved me so much. But are we doing the things that are revealed in his word? Because it says that if I find wisdom, I find life and receive favor from the Lord. But have I found wisdom? What do I need to do to get wisdom? Well, there's lots of things. I need to fear the Lord. And I need to listen to wisdom, watching daily at its doors, waiting in its doorway. And it says, they who find me. Wisdom is elusive. Wisdom is elusive. Wisdom is not low-hanging fruit. You have to work to obtain wisdom. You have to position your life. You have to pursue wisdom. If you read through the Proverbs, I hope you do. Does anyone do a monthly, if it's the 5th of January, I'm reading Proverbs 5? That's a great thing to do. And if you read through that again and again and again, you'll find that there is a lifelong pursuit of wisdom, and it is not easy. It's like, where are you at in this situation, wisdom? Where I need to find you. And all right, God, meditate on your word. What are you saying? And you can find wisdom, but it's easy to escape it. It's easy to bypass wisdom because wisdom is kind of hiding in the cracks sometimes. And it's not always the normal thing that we would do. And so dwelling on the Lord's word, dwelling in his presence, spending time with him, and finding wisdom. You see, it says, all right, my life is blessed. I've got favor from God. And then I don't go to work. God, you promised that you would be my provider. Take care of me, Lord. Another late bill. Oh, man. Or we look at the Proverbs, it says, as a door turns on its hinges, a lazy man turns in his bed. Oh. And we see all these things about how to operate our lives in a way that we can receive wisdom from it and receive blessing and receive favor. You know, I'm just kind of one of those people that just say it like it is. Oh, really? Can't figure out why I can't keep friends. Maybe we can go to Proverbs and we can find out that, you know, a word spoken in season is like in gold setting or apples of gold in settings of silver or whatever that one is. There's times to say things and times to shh, right? Walk through the door when you get home, husbands, and say, where's my supper? See how favored you are. We laugh because it's, well, yeah, of course. No, that takes nothing away from the favor of God. It just points out my stupidity. Right? Well, God, you want to bless my life. But if I'm not willing to do the things that predicate the blessing of God in my life to sustain and to uphold the blessing, I can't earn his blessing. But God's given me a path to walk in where those blessings fall. And I can choose to not walk on that path, or I can choose to go down that road. This is the road where all the blessings are going to drop. Just wait about 10 minutes from now, another one's going to fall down. Do you want to be on that road? That seems like a road I should be on. Then let's do the things that God says create an atmosphere where we can be blessed in them. Favor of God comes from finding wisdom. Not just walking by my emotions, not just walking by what I knew 20 years ago, but constantly pursuing the wisdom of God, and not man's wisdom. God's wisdom. Because so often God's wisdom is opposite of what the world would have us do. Talked about that in the upside down kingdom. All right. This one's in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years, and they will bring you peace and prosperity. Oh man, that sounds like something I like. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Guys, I didn't write this. This is in the Word of God. And while there is a certain automatic blessing of God that comes when we accept Christ, that comes when our hearts are pulled, like, man, God just shows up and starts doing things. There is also a side where we mature. Ooh, that's a bad word, right? Look at someone and say, grow up. See if you get slapped or not. Just doing what the preacher said. I mean, he said, grow up. Oh, did you think I was saying that to you? Oh, I'm so sorry. My son, do not forget my teaching. Has anyone ever, back to this again, anyone ever heard the things of God in your life and you just like, ooh, that's good. And then we never applied it. We walked away from it. I mean, you mean just this week or all of my life, right? Right? We do that all the time. We see something in the Word of God. Oh, that's so good. And we highlight it. And then do we do it? Do we do it? Oh, wait, you mean I'm supposed to do that too? Oh, I thought I was just getting excited about it. I'm just kidding. But like, it's hard to get it applied in our life. And Solomon is telling his children here that if you do this, if you put the commands of God in your heart, this tells me that I get to decide what I write on my heart. If I want to write bitterness, if I want to write folly and foolishness, if I want to write apathy, or if I want to write the commands of God, I get to choose what I write on my heart. Write those commands, keep those commands in your heart. They'll prolong your life, bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Now look at these action steps again. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. He's saying, look at guys, you guys all know love and faithfulness is a great thing. And woohoo! What are you going to do about it? Are you going to apply it in your life? Are you going to make it a part of you? Or are you just going to let it be a good thing that you knew about and you took notes on one Sunday? Are we going to bind it around our neck? Are we going to let it? My neck dictates where my head turns to. Are the commands of God and love and faithfulness going to be wrapped around my neck so that I'm not turning to false idols and things that bring fulfillment in my life besides God? Because that's all a lie and it never ultimately does. Am I going to trust in horses and chariots for my strength? Or am I going to turn my neck to God? Am I going to turn to things that I think are going to satisfy? Am I going to turn to things that I think are going to save? Am I going to turn away from God? Or am I going to let these things guide my neck, not out of, oh, come on, but out of blessing? That's the road where we want to stay in blessing. Let the commandment, let love and faithfulness. When I'm alone, am I going to turn my eyes towards or away from things that feed my darkness or feed the life of God in me? Guys, just, I wasn't going to say this, but I want to just challenge us. Pornography is rampant in the American church. And it creates a picture of something that never can be fulfilled. You'll be chasing a fantasy the rest of your life and imprisoned to that. And that was just, I was not in my notes, but it was stirring in my heart that as this is guiding my neck, let it be guided towards love and faithfulness, not towards things that bring death, not towards things that bring fantasy, not towards false hopes and dreams of something that's not godly, not towards my Savior being in a job or in money or something like that, but keep my face turned towards the things of God. And that brings favor in our life. Amen? I hope that wasn't too heavy, but like that just, this is Solomon's passion for his son, saying, man, let it guide you. Let it keep your eyes towards the right thing. Last one, probably. Isaiah 66 says this. These are the ones that I look on with favor. Those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word. I mean, this is just right out of the word of God. The richness of the word of God in Isaiah in the Old Testament. God is saying, I will look at you with blessing, with favor. If you'll step into that. If you have a humble heart, if you're contrite in spirit, if you tremble at my word, because God's already said, I hate pride. And so God can't change his word just because he loves you. And so if you want to stay on that road, if we want to access, God, I've been so blessed. God, you've shown me so much favor and love and life. God, you've just surrounded me with so many good things. But I don't want to stop there. I want to keep walking in favor. How do I keep walking in favor? God, in 2020, how do I keep walking in the favor of God? I've seen so many Christ followers derail their life and go down in a flaming Zeppelin. I don't want to do that. God, I want to keep my heart focused in the right direction. I want to keep walking in the favor and the blessing of God. How do I do that, God? How? If only there was a verse. God, how can I do that? Maybe we could say, God, every morning, God, give me a humble heart. God, I don't want to walk in pride. God, even when I get it right, help me not to think, yeah, I got it right. Because then pride comes in. God, help me to know that part of humility is also knowing that I am who God said I am. Because of grace. I am a child of God. I am forgiven. I am set free. I am healed. I am blessed. Those who have a humble and contrite heart, God, if there's any wicked way in me, God, root it out of me. I don't want it, like if it's hidden, if it's tricking me, if it's fooling me, let me know that. And those who tremble at my word. Is the word of God just something that I get to play with so that I have refrigerator magnets? Right? And I know none of us. I know you. I know that's not your heart. So I'm not really preaching to anybody right now, but if you're listening by radio, I'm just kidding. The word of God is life for us. The word of God is the word of the eternal creator God for his creation, for his people. God, I want to tremble at your word. Not that I'm in fear that I can't come close, but in awe. I want to tremble in awe of when you say don't do that, there must be a really good reason. I don't want to be prideful and do that because you told me not to do that. And that's the road to blessing. God, I want to keep my feet on that road of blessing this year. I want to keep walking closer and higher and further, deeper with you. Keep my heart in the right place. Amen? Amen. Thank you guys for listening. That's just my prayer for us, that we would walk in the favor of God, that this church would be so blessed, that in blessings and in every meaning and every sense of the word, that we would have more forgiveness for people than should be humanly possible, that we would have more compassion than you'd think people should have, that we would look like Christ, that we would walk in his blessings, grace, and favor, that we would be close to him, that we would recognize his presence in our life, that's what would define us. Walking in the favor of God, walking in the blessing of God, that we would be generous, that we would have more than enough to give away to those who don't have enough, that we could serve, that we could love well. Amen. Lord, that's our prayer. That's our heart today, God. And if that's not our heart, make it our heart. God, help me to help that to be what I really want. Help that not just to be empty words, God. That's what I really want, God. Help us to follow your commands that you've already shown us, Lord, how to be walking in favor. Help us to increase and not decrease in the name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen. Prayer teams are coming on up. Part of the favor of God is blessings of answered prayers.